Where is the safest place to keep money? I'll talk about that next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations, that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Well, folks, recently there's been a lot of talk and concern. I've received numerous questions regarding the safest place to keep money. And I think, of course, this was because of the Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, Republic Bank failures recently. And a lot of people want my take because I've been a financial strategist, a retirement planning specialist now for five decades. And one of the key elements of a prudent investment is safety. In fact, it is the second key element, in my opinion. The first is liquidity, the ability to access your money when you need it. This is where a lot of people get into trouble. They think, I can always sell my piece of real estate or whatever. But then when they need it the worst, it's the hardest to get. Or they think they can just go borrow some money, but they haven't realized maybe that the lenders will only loan you money based upon your ability to repay. They love to tie up assets as collateral, but it doesn't matter how much equity you have in a piece of property. If you don't have the ability to repay the loan, they're going to say fat chance, okay? And so liquidity is number one. Number two, though, is safety. And so let's talk about this consideration of safety. In this segment and the next segment, I'm going to address it from two different angles. One is safety of the institution that you're going to deposit money into or invest into. And so that would be the safety or the rating of that institution, their ratios of liquid cash. These are called acid test ratios and so forth. All you need to know is, do they have liquidity? Okay, if they need it. If there's a run on the bank or whatever, this is what gets financial institutions into trouble, is when they lack liquidity. So there is safety of the institution, and then there's also safety of your principal. A lot of financial advisors, I've discovered, don't seem to think about this one. And what this means is whenever you set aside money, that's your principal, that's your basis, you don't want to put that in jeopardy. Most people do not want to lose what they invest. But you all know the higher rate of return you're wanting, you're going to incur higher risks. And so a lot of times people, when they're setting aside money for long-term goals like retirement, they would like to have safety of that principal. But I go a little bit further. Any year that you make money, I want any money I make in a given year to become newly protected principal in future years. I don't want to lose in future years money I made in previous years. Does that make sense? Because in the stock market, you might have 3 or 4 years in a row where you make a pretty good rate of return. But in one year like 2008 or in March of 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic, people lost 30%, 40%. And you don't want to lose money that you've been making for the previous 3 or 4 years in one little episode where the market goes down. And a lot of financial advisors, they're just taught to tell their clients, well, the market always comes back. Hang in there. And so the stock market is like a yo-yo. I used to say like a person with a yo-yo walking up some stairs. What do I mean by the stairs? Well, the stock market goes up and down almost on a daily or monthly basis. That's the yo-yo. But you want the person to be progressing, like the Dow Jones, the S&P 500. You want it to be growing through the years. And from 2000, the year 2000 to 2012, that person with a yo-yo was walking across a flat surface, so to speak, meaning the Dow Jones, the S&P, the stock market was basically in 2012 where it was in 2000. And in between, you had these ups and downs and ups and downs like a roller coaster. I want to be able to continually go up, even if I only make money during the up years, but I don't want to lose money during the down years. And sometimes people say that sounds too good to be true. So let's talk about this. When we think about safety of the institution, sometimes people have been lured into thinking, well, if I put my money in a bank or a credit union, it's insured. Banks have FDIC. Now, what does that stand for? Federal Deposit Insurance. Okay, corporation. Who's running that insurance company? The federal government. I get a little bit concerned when they're running anything. But basically, FDIC almost, went broke when they had to bail out the savings and loans years ago. And so when there's a run on money in banks, FDIC is supposed to be there to protect you. But they can run short of cash because they charge premiums, just like for any insurance, to the various banking institutions. But if those premiums are not invested wisely and not enough to cover a major run on several banks, hundreds or thousands of banks going under, like in 2008, 400 banks went under, 900 more were on the brink of going under. Well, that can put a tremendous strain on FDIC. And they don't have the funds, but a lot of people take, the solace, the comfort, peace, because the federal government has the ability to tax us or print money. They seem to get out of every time they run out of money, they just print money or they tax us, and so we pay for it. Well, so if you feel like that is the safest place to put money, there's a trade-off, rate of return. Generally speaking, money in a bank or a credit union will not keep up with, let alone exceed, the rate of inflation. Many times in the last two decades, we have had banks pay only 1% or less, and the inflation rate wasn't that high, but it was three times that. It was 3%. Well, now we have inflation at 15% and higher. And the banks and the credit unions, of course, are not paying that. So normally the inflation rate will be double, even triple, whatever banks and credit unions pay in interest. That's just a function of monetary dynamics in this country. Okay. And so when you put money into a bank or a credit union, you may think it's safe, but in actuality, you're losing ground. You're rowing upstream at the rate of 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5 miles an hour, but the current of inflation is coming down at 10, 12, 15, or whatever. You're going backwards. Does that make sense? So I would not recommend serious cash for long-term goals. I should be in a bank or a credit union for those reasons. So then it begs the question, well, then where is the safest place to put money? Now, this will sound so simple, but you can't believe how many people don't realize this. I would recommend you put your money where banks and credit unions put their money that you gave them for liquidity and safety. And that was disclosed in 2008 when the federal government asked the five major banks in America after 400 went under and 900 more were on the watch list, on the brink of going under, they asked the five major banks, where do you have your Tier 1 assets? That's money that banks have to have on hand, liquid and safe, in case of a run on their bank. And guess where the five major banks had 30 to 40% of their Tier 1 assets? In insurance companies. Hello? Insurance companies, not run by the government, run by private enterprise. The multi-trillion dollar insurance industry is the backbone of America and the backbone of the world. And so banks were putting their money into insurance companies that are rated many times six notches higher in safety than they are. A lot of banks are rated maybe by S&P triple B. Well, a lot of these insurance companies are rated AA and AAA, which is five or six notches higher in safety. But get a load of this. The banks back in 2008 were paying you 1% or less. They were turning around and increasing the safety of that money by putting it in insurance companies, increasing the safety by 5 or 6 notches higher, and they were getting 5% or higher. How much more is 5% than 1%? Don't say 4. It's 500% more. Would you, buy a widget machine for 10 grand that made you an extra 50 grand? Would you hire an employee for 10,000 that made you 50,000? That's a 500% return. So the banks and credit unions were basically increasing the safety and the rate of return by 5 times by taking the money you put in their banks and putting it into insurance companies. I would recommend you do the same thing. You bypass the middleman for any serious cash that you don't need to go grab with a drive-up window within an hour. If you could wait a day or two to get your money, I would just put it into an insurance company. Does that make sense? In my opinion, the multi-trillion-dollar legal reserve insurance industry would be the last domino to fall if we had a total financial collapse in America. Then it wouldn't matter if you had your money. You would have to be growing your own carrots in your backyard. Does that make sense?
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
Don't lose money and protect the money you make from future losses. Welcome back. This is Doug Andrew, Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you're just joining us, in the previous segment, I was talking about where is the safest place to put money. And this is a question I've been asked numerous times in the last couple of months. And it is primarily because of the Silicon Valley Bank failures, Signature Bank, Republic, and so forth. And so people begin to get concerned, and they should be. I think it's the beginning, and I'll tell you why in the next couple of segments. But let's finish up this concept of safety. Now, there's two different areas of safety. One is safety of the institution. I was talking about that in the last segment, and I prefer to put my serious cash in the institutions that are rated very, very high, usually 5 or 6 notches higher than most banks, and basically put my money where a lot of the banks and credit unions put 30 to 40% of their Tier 1 assets. What's a Tier 1 asset? That's money that banks have to have on hand, liquid and safe, or they can liquidate, okay, in case there's a run on their bank. And in 2008, that's when the federal government asked the 5 major banks, after 400 banks went under and 900 more were on the watch list, they were on the brink of going under, they asked the 5 major banks, where do you have your Tier 1 assets for liquidity and safety? And they disclosed that 30 to 40% of their Tier 1 assets was invested in legal reserve insurance companies. That's where I keep my money. And I was pointing out that banks back in 2008 were borrowing OPM, other people's money. They pay you 1% interest, and they increase the safety by 5 or 6 notches higher in safety, but they also increase the rate of return because they received at least 5% or more interest, and 5% is 5 times 1. On every $1 million, they pay $10,000 in interest to you, and they make $50,000 in interest, 500% more. Now, there's another consideration that I introduced in the last segment, and that's safety of principal. Whatever I set aside, I don't want to jeopardize or lose that if it's earmarked for future goals such as retirement or college funding for my kids and grandkids or whatever. And so when we set aside money, I want to protect the principal of that. And so I found as a financial strategist by using indexing. Okay, now I'm not talking about index mutual funds. So many advisors think when I talk about indexing that I'm talking about index mutual funds. No, let me quickly tell you the difference. An index mutual fund, an S&P 500 index, that's the top 500 companies. If you had $1 million in the S&P 500 indexed fund in 2008, your million would have dropped down to 600 grand. You would have lost 40%. But by using indexing, linking to the S&P 500 in 2008, not one of our clients lost one single dime in 2008 due to the market downturn. Their million was still there, at the end of 2008. It didn't go down to 600,000. So this is huge. Let me explain it to you, because if not, you're going to miss out. Okay. So when do most people get taken by surprise? It's when their investments don't have that safety of their principal. They're clicking along and making money and everything like that. And then all of a sudden something happens out of their control, like 2001, 9/11, the terrorist attacks. And from 2001 to 2003, the market dropped 40%. Okay. A lot of people had no control over that. Well, none of our clients using indexed Universal Life, my favorite vehicle, lost any money in 2001, 2002, 2003. In 2001, when the market dropped, I could see that it was going to last more than 1 year. So I just moved back and I decided not to link to an index in 2002 and 2003. And I earned 5% each of those 2 years. But in 2001, I didn't make anything. But I didn't lose anything, okay? Same thing happened in 2007 and 2008. 2007, I could see that. And so I didn't make anything, but I didn't lose. 2008, I made 5% when everybody else was losing 40%. And so this is understanding how to rebalance. But when I say safety of principle, when you have money in a legal reserve insurance company properly structured in an indexed universal life insurance contract, and when you do that, your net internal rate of return will be within 1% of the gross rate of return over the long term, retroactive back to day one, which means if you could average 9, you'll net 8. If you could average 11, like I have, you'll net 10. 10% cash on cash. So let me explain how this indexing works because you're going to miss out. And then I'll show you where you can learn this. I'll gift you a copy of my 300-page book that explains this in chapter 6. So if I set aside money into a laser fund, it could be $500 a month. It could be 10 grand a year. It could be 100 grand a year. But let's say you do this. Let's say you put in $500 a month and you do it for 30 years. And based on average rates of return in that 8 to 9% range, you'll end up with $1 million nest egg. Okay. So let's just take that snapshot in time. You have $1 million in there because you can extrapolate from this no matter whether you have, you know, 10 grand in there or you have 10 million. So let's say you have $1 million in your indexed universal life policy and you feel bearish about America. You think we're headed for a recession, which I do right now. So you can just play it safe and just earn the general account portfolio rate of the insurance company. So let's say that's 4 or 5%. So you would just settle to earn 4 or 5% if you're feeling like, we're in trouble in this country. We're headed for a recession. So that means you'd make 40 grand or 50 grand, and it's tax-free on your $1 million. So far, so good? Okay. You can do that any time you want. But any time you feel bullish about America, that you feel like, okay, we're growing, we're in a growth mode, you can link your return to an index of your choice that the insurance company offers. Okay. Now, there's lots of indexes, or we call them indices. The S&P 500, the Dow Jones, the Russell 2000. These are some common ones. And so you could diversify and link 300,000 of that million to the S&P 500 and 300,000 to the Dow and 300,000 to the Russell 2000 or the Barclays U.S. Dynamic Balance Index or whatever. Okay. And so the insurance company usually has 10 to 15 of these different indices that you can choose. So let's just keep it simple. Let's say you linked all of your million to the S&P 500. Now, if the S&P 500 goes up, the insurance company is contractually obligated to pay you whatever the S&P increase is that year based upon 1 year point to point. And you can link from January to January or March to March or June to June or whatever. But at the end of that linking period, you measure, is the market up from a year before if it's a 1 year point to point? You could even wait 2 years and do a 2 year point to point or a 5 year. Let's keep it simple. 1 year. 1 year later, if the market went up, the insurance company has to pay you whatever the increase was. Let's say it was 8% or 12%, but they'll usually cap you because how can they afford to do that? What you're doing is you're telling the insurance company, do not put my $1 million at risk. Keep it safe in your insurance company. And you keep crediting me that, you know, 4 or 5% interest. But you can take the 4% or 5% interest you're crediting me, and you can fund an options budget to buy upside options in the S&P. Now, they're the number one purchaser of options in the world, and so they will buy options, and $40,000 of options on a million will allow the insurance company to pay you $80,000 or $120,000 if the market goes up 8 or 12%. But if the market goes down and you guessed wrong and it loses, your options expire worthless, but you still have your $1 million. Does that make sense? You didn't lose a dime. You didn't make anything, but you didn't lose. This is huge, okay? And sometimes you can choose a one-year point-to-point with no cap, and they'll subtract maybe 5% off of your rate of return. But there's some years that could make you as much as 60%, which it did our clients from March of 2020 to March of 2021 when they did that. So this is called indexing. I had a client in 2017 that made 25%, but if the next year the market had crashed, he would not have lost one dime of the quarter of a million he made the year before. This is called locking in your gains and resetting.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.